everybody. Welcome to Dropping the Gloves. Thank you for joining us. Very excited for you to be here today. Tim, how are you, my man? Oh, sorry. I got to introduce Tim. He likes a big introduction. My co-host from North Boston. He played club hockey. Tim Wurzberger, everybody.
The co-host with the most.
Just does made that not up. Rhyme. Does not rhyme. How you doing, Tim?
Doing good. Thanks for coming over, John.
You know, I just need these in person, just to make sure you're okay.
John came over. He brought muffins. He looks sharp.
I feel sharp. Usually when you come over with muffins, coffee's involved. I thought you'd put a throw pot on for. Are you not a big coffee guy?
I know. I never had coffee.
No.
Yeah.
I was like that until about 4 years ago.
Daughter number four came along. You're like, you know what?
Yeah. No, it was number five.
Four and five were the same. Oh, five.
No, three and four were the same. And then five came and I was like, I need some coffee in my life. Then now I drink it a lot. Like, I enjoy it. I don't know. Just black for me. Nice and plain. Nothing too fancy. But anyways, I had to come over. Anything new in your life, Tim, that I should know about?
No. Nope.
Nothing?
No. I leave this week for Oregon on Thursday.
Oregon. Oh,
so you might be riding solo Thursday, Friday.
I'll get an interview. Not looking forward to that. Anyway, I had a terrible Sunday. It was just one of those days where I just didn't, you know, nothing went right. And then last night, 2 a.m., rain starts leaking through my roof. You know, it was just not a good time for me last night and early this morning. It was just, now I got to go home right now and fix it after this podcast. Can you believe that?
And on a rainy day still.
It's going to rain even more, so I got to staple a tarp over the roof, and then I'm getting a new roof put on, but this just, like, expedites it. I was going to put it off until the end of the summer. We're getting sod put down this Wednesday, so I was going to wait for the sod to kind of grab hold, but now I got to get this roof done. Like,
it's always something, right?
That house is a piece of garbage that I live in. I tell you what, I can't stand it. I can't stand it.
You were so excited about it. You loved it.
Now I'm just over it. I'm so over it. I just want to get someone else to build me a house so I don't have to deal with it. Because then when you make the fixes and something happens, your wife looks at you like, huh, roof's leaking. I was like, I see that. It didn't leak last year. The snow must have done something to it. The ice must have done something to it. I don't know. Leaking through the roof. Going to ruin the drywall. Going to ruin all this. Should have probably hired that out. And I go, oh, and I just have to walk away. Window's leaking. I'm like, yep, one window out of the 15 I put in leaks. Sorry, honey. Not perfect. It must be nice to be perfect. That's what I tell her. And I walk away and don't talk to her for a week. Ice her out. Anyways, okay, therapy session's over. Moving on. I want to give a shout out. So I have Cameo. You know what Cameo is, Tim?
No, tell me.
You know what it is.
I forgot. We haven't talked about it in so long.
Cameo is this app where people can, you know, basically give me money and I will give them a special greeting or a shout out or whatever they want, basically. Anything not too vulgar. I'm game. I've done, you know, birthdays, weddings, anniversaries, all that fun stuff. Fantasy drafts. That's a fun one. But anyway, someone sent me a message on there and he's like, hey, can you follow me on Instagram? And I thought about it and I was like, no, I can't. But I said, I'll give him a shout out on the podcast. So Kevin Orlin, here's your shout out, my man. Sorry I couldn't follow you on Instagram. It just didn't work out. I don't know, because then once you do that, then I'm going to end up like that guy on Twitter who used to play in the NHL who follows like millions of people.
Oh, Zach Boychuk.
Like, I don't want to be a Zach Boychuk.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know how many people I follow, but I just think it, you know, waters it down if I'm just following. Not that millions of people would ask me to follow them, but, you know, you never know.
Slippery slope.
It's very slippery. So Kevin Orlin, Tim looked you up. You used to be a prospect a couple years ago. Prospect. No, stick with it, my man. I believe in you. And maybe if you get famous enough, I will follow you on Instagram. That's how shallow I am. Crazy shallow. If you get a blue check, consider yourself followed, Kevin. But anyways, good luck, kid. Moving on, Tim, again, for the third time or for the second time. I don't know. So the playoffs are about to begin. The regular season is almost over. Our fantasy season that we did with all the fans is rapidly coming to a close. The final two seeds are set. Have you been keeping track of this, Tim? So for those of you who don't know, we did a fantasy draft with some fans. We had a little raffle. We picked eight random people. We did a draft. We picked eight people out of thousands of entries. It was wild. And we did a draft. It was really fun. At the end of the draft, Tim was talking so much incredible smack. He's like, I got an incredible team.
I still think I have the best team in the league.
This is how delusional Tim is. This is the problem with millennials.
You're millennial too, John.
Barely. This is the problem with our generation, I guess. Tim still thinks he has the best team. The season is almost over. What place did you come?
Technically,
Say it into the mic.
Last place?
Last place. He came last place out of 10 teams, and he still thinks he has the best team.
It's bad luck, bad matchups, a couple injuries here and there.
I
told everyone, don't let me make the playoffs because I was going to go on a run, and they didn't. So
they must have listened, because you did not even come anywhere near the playoffs. But then they do the consolation rounds, and you lost all of those.
Oh, so, I'm checking. It doesn't matter at that point.
Well, yeah, of course it doesn't matter. But anyways, we've whittled the teams down to two.
Yep.
Do you have it up there or no?
Yeah, I do.
Who's in the finals, Tim?
Someone named Ryan.
Ryan, who is he playing?
He's playing you.
Boom shakalaka, as they would say in MDA Jams 1992. He's on fire. I am in the finals. I pretty much ran through the regular season. I took the last few weeks off just because I felt bad for all the teams. I think I lost 1 week head-to-head, and that was to the last place team just because I wanted to.
You have Connor McDavid. Did you draft him?
I traded for him right after the draft. I drafted Leon Draisaitl, and I traded him for Connor McDavid straight up. And it was the trade of the year. No, I gave him Draisaitl and somebody, and he gave me Pasternak and McDavid. But this is when Pasternak was hurt. No one knew anything about him. But it was an unbelievable trade, unbelievable draft for myself. I had so many steals of the draft, I can't even mention them all. Darnell Nurse ended up being my sleeper pick of the century. I picked him up like in the second last round, and he's just been unbelievable. My one hiccup was my very last pick. I wanted Drew Doughty, but I picked Shea Weber. And Shea Weber had an okay pick, but Drew Doughty had a great season. He really did. He had an unbelievable year. Shea Weber, I had to drop him. The guy just eats minuses. Like, he eats them like it's his job. But anyways, going into the final week, very excited. You have to be a little more strategic because some teams play more than others. Vancouver picked up 10 extra games to win the season. You pick them up. Teams had bye weeks. They had COVID, so now they are jamming all these games in the last week and a half of the season. So I need to go and tinker with the roster. When I get done with this podcast, I think I might pick up Mike Hoffman, a couple guys off Colorado, maybe look at Vegas. I don't know. Very excited for the championship. I plan on winning. I'll let you know when the parade route is finalized. So that's my playoff story. What?
Moving on.
Moving on for the fourth time. That's the fantasy playoffs. The NHL regular season is now coming to an end. And much like a Quentin Tarantino movie, they always start with the ending, and then they backtrack. So that's what we're going to do. We know what the ending is. Every division, the four teams are set. I don't think there's any argument. Tim, do you want to rip off who the four teams are in every division?
Yeah, so the Discover, Carolina, Tampa, Florida have all clinched. Nashville's in the fourth spot. Dallas is only 3 points behind them with a game in hand. So I would say that one is most likely Nashville, but a couple games left. In the West, Vegas, Colorado, and Minnesota have all clinched. St. Louis and Arizona are fighting over that fourth spot.
St. Louis is going to win that one. That's pretty clear cut.
Yeah, they got 3 points and three games in hand. The Scotia North is still technically wide open. Toronto's the only team that's clinched. And then you got Edmonton, Winnipeg, Montreal. And those are the most likely, just looking at that. Montreal is in fourth place, but they're 7 points or 8 points more than Calgary with equal games played. So I think it's theirs.
Yeah, those four are set. I thought Vancouver was going to give them a scare. I thought Calgary would, you know, give them a scare. But they honestly, that division, it was like nobody wants that fourth seed. Montreal's won the last few, so they have fallen into the fourth seed.
And then the East Division, Pittsburgh, Washington, and the Islanders have all clinched. Bruins are in that fourth spot. They have 8 points over the Rangers with two games in hand, so they should be that should be locked in.
Let's start with that division. Like I said, a Tarantino movie. I want to start from the beginning and where we thought these teams would end up. In that division, specifically the East, everyone was very excited about it. It was six really good teams, and two teams that you didn't know what to expect. Buffalo, they made a huge splash. I think we've talked about them enough to, we know they failed. We know the reasons why they failed. Taylor Hall, shell of his former self, Mike Skinner, Jeff Skinner, still a terrible hockey player. They just couldn't find their game. They had tons of injuries in the goaltender position. So it was just a bad season for Buffalo. They didn't really make any moves at the deadline to change their outlook for next year. So we'll see what happens. They got a couple draft picks. Nothing major to speak of. The New Jersey Devils, I thought they would be a lot better. I honestly thought they were going to compete, but they had another lackluster year. They didn't make any moves. They got some draft pick capital at the end of the deadline. They traded Palmieri. They traded Zajac, which was somewhat surprising. Not a huge surprise that they didn't make the playoffs. The Philadelphia Flyers, Tim. When you're looking at the end of the season, disappointments, surprises, teams that did really well, they probably, you know, what's it called when a guy marries a girl who's way hotter? They outkicked their coverage. So I think the Philadelphia Flyers did the opposite. So they squib kicked it 10 yards. I thought they would be a Stanley Cup contender. Coming off of last season, they were playing really, really well. Carter Hart was the new Carey Price. They had all the pieces to succeed. They went out. They made some moves. They had some secondary scoring. James Van Riemsdyk, Giroux, Voracek, all these guys, Sean Couturier. They had a good group. They had depth. Their defense was questionable, but I figured they could sort that out. They have been terrible from start to finish. They have not competed. They have not even been close, really. They didn't even have much of a blip where you got excited for Philadelphia to where it was like, you know what? This team is figuring it out. And it's a hard thing to figure out because their top guys had okay seasons. You know, they didn't fail. They didn't have terrible seasons. But when you look at a team that's supposed to compete for the Stanley Cup, you want your top guys to produce like an Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, Connor McDavid, those types of guys. And I know Philly doesn't have those caliber of players, but for Pete's sake, like at least a point a game would be nice. Who was the highest point getter on that team? I think it was Voracek, correct?
Voracek with 40 points in 48 games. I would say Couturier missed some time. So he only played 40 games. He had 36, which is tied for Giroux, three behind James Van Riemsdyk, both of whom played 10 more games than him.
Yeah, it's just that was a huge problem for Philadelphia. They had balanced scoring. Don't get me wrong. They had a lot of guys who produced. They had Farabee had a good year. They had some good forwards who produced. Their defense was completely nowhere to be found. They didn't have anybody to move the puck. The one guy who could move the puck, Gostisbehere, they benched him. And they relegated them to the waivers, and nobody wanted them. So that was – I still don't know what's going on in that situation. The big issue is Carter Hart. I know people have talked about it. From the year he had last year where he just set the world on fire, everybody was all in on Carter Hart. They gave him this big contract. They put all their chips in front of Carter Hart and said, okay, kid, run with it. He had a very bad year. Like, and I'm not talking bad for an elite goaltender, which is still pretty good. I'm talking bad for an average goaltender. His numbers compare to there's no other goalie in the league who got as many starts as he did, who played as bad as he did. You look at a guy on a bad team like a Jonathan Bernier, his save percentage is stellar. His goals against is not as great because he faces 40 shots a game. But Jonathan Bernier had a great season. I don't think anybody talks about him, but he consistently gets 40, 45 shots a game, and he keeps Detroit in game. Like last night they lost 2-1 to Tampa Bay. I think he had 42 saves. So Carter Hart's supposed to be better than Jonathan Bernier. He was 9-11, five ties, one shutout, goals against of .367 and a save percentage of .877. I don't know. Can you speak on that? Like, I don't want to, you know, kick the guy when he's down. He's hurt right now. His MCL, he's got an injury. Talk about Carter. I'm at a loss. I want to be positive, but I can't.
Well, he was so good last year, and that's what people thought. Like, I remember asking on Twitter about a year ago, and I was like, hey, if you're starting a franchise, you need a goaltender, like, who's your pick? Or how many picks you take before Carter Hart? And the response was, he's the list.
Right.
There's not a second place, right? And now he's just like, he's an afterthought almost. It's weird. And we talked about this before, like, how much of a mental grind being a goalie is, where, like, one bad puck, one bounce, one bad stretch of games can just throw you off in a major way that's hard to define and hard to recover from. So maybe, obviously, like, when you're playing this bad, he's probably just throwing the towel in for the season. I hope he turns it around, because he's a good goalie, obviously, when he's on. He's one of the best, and this is a good team. They should be, like, on paper, this is a good roster that should be fighting for a playoff spot, and they're not. And, like, at one point, they were kind of tied with Boston. They were in the fourth spot at one point, maybe a month or so ago. And they just have just been doing nothing ever since. They're 3 wins in their last 10. They've lost 3 in a row. Like, it's just not really a good team, and I can't figure out why. I think it's a little bit of a we talked about those 2 losses to the Rangers that week, where they let up like 20 goals in 2 games, something like that. And we talked about, like, how it's not just a bad night. It's not just an off night. You don't let in that many goals in 2 games unless there's something deeper going on in that dressing room. It's not just a matter of, hey, just not our night, boys. So I hope they figure it out. They probably need a little bit of a change of scenery. They've had this group for a while. They're not going to get better. They're not going to get younger. Drew and Voracek, I mean, as much as I like them as players, I think probably I'd be looking to move at least one or two of those guys. And just seeing, you know, if that younger crew can take over. If Couturier can be the guy on this team, James Van Riemsdyk too, you know, I think it's time to move on, shake some things up there.
I totally agree. I think that it's a hard team to trade with just because of those contracts. You know what I'm interested in? The Olympics are around the corner. 2022. The Canadian goaltending position has always been outstanding. You've always had the guy, and you've always had the next guy. One A plus. The Martin Brodeurs, the Patrick Waz, the Roberto Luongos, these sorts of goaltenders. Going into 2022, the plan was it's going to be Carey Price and Carter Hart. That's the net. Without a doubt. Carey Price has played okay this year. What if he's hurt? What if he's not the Carey Price next year? Canada all of a sudden has a void of goaltenders. Jordan Binnington played well. You know, he could step in. There's no really other options in net for Canada to play for gold. It's so weird to say. Marc-Andre Fleury, does he step in? He's getting a little gray. He's getting a little long in the tooth. There is no exciting young Canadian goaltender that I can think of that takes those reins. Every young goaltender that's succeeding around the league is either Russian, they're Scandinavian. There is no good young goaltender in this league right now. Maybe Jordan Binnington is the only one who is going to take the reins for the goaltender position for Canada, and they're going to ride him to gold.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I have a list of Canadian goals in front of me. Binnington, like you said, Tristan Jarry out of Pittsburgh, Fleury. None of these guys are really, I mean, Martin Jones, Blackwood, Talbot, no. Mike Smith, no. Carter Hart, maybe. Matt Murray, Kemper, Price, Jake Allen, Bernier. Yeah, God.
None of these guys screams Olympic champion.
No.
If I'm the Canadian delegate, it's going to be Price and Fleury.
Yeah.
And if something happens, like, gosh, Fleury's 35, 36 years old. He's not a young kid. Carey Price is so unpredictable that I would not be comfortable going to, gosh, where's the Olympics? China? Japan?
I don't know.
China. Asia? Yeah. Somewhere? I wouldn't be comfortable just going there and be like, oh, Carey's our guy. It's just very interesting where you have this thought perception last year of Carter Hart, and then all of a sudden it takes 1 year and everyone's just like, whoa. Did we just maybe get a little bit ahead of ourselves with this guy? He's not the goalie we thought he was. He was atrocious this year. He was absolutely atrocious, and that's saying it mildly. He lost them plenty of games where they should have been in it. We'll see what happens. Hopefully he can sort it out. He's still young. He's 23 years old. He's obviously a good goaltender, but much like we've said before, we've had goaltenders on the show. Goaltending is such a mental game where if you just don't think you're a good goalie anymore, you're not a good goalie. It's really hard to work your way out of a mental funk. And he's in a mental funk, man. I don't know what's going on. Hopefully he can take this summer, just offload all the trash and just kind of come back and commit himself to being, because it's not like he's not trying. He's probably on the ice first. He's on, you know, stays out the latest and he's taking shots. He just can't stop a puck. And when you're a goalie, that's pretty important. So anyways, moving on to another team in this division. How many times do I say moving on during an episode?
You've been saying it a lot lately.
I love to move on.
The last week and a half.
I like doing it. It's fun. The New York Rangers, the team that I thought would win the Stanley Cup. They had such a good offseason. They went out, they nailed the draft. They had such a good offseason. Panarin was coming back. Their defense was primed to take that next step. They had Fox. They have DeAngelo. They had all these young guys. Then before the season hit, DeAngelo was like spewing some...
DeAngelo.
Whatever. DeAngelo. He got in hot water. They got rid of him. Lafreniere was supposed to be the Calder winner. He was going to come out and just like light the world on fire. I don't know what happened, Lafreniere. I don't even know how to... I'm so bad with names.
That was pretty good.
Lafreniere. Do you have his stats in front of you?
Yep, he played 52 games, so pretty much every game this season. He has 10 goals and 8 assists, minus 5.
It's not a terrible season, but it's not a great season. The main problem for the New York Rangers, Mika Zibanejad, was an absolute no-show for the first 35-40 games of this season. He was nowhere to be found, non-existent, couldn't score, couldn't put any points on the board. It was a liability defensively. That's why the New York Rangers are in the position they're in right now. If he shows up for the first half of the season, the Rangers are in the playoffs. They're a completely different team. They would have done a completely 180 deal at the deadline. They would have added pieces instead of standing pat. That's why. I don't know. Do you have any other ideas why the Rangers didn't succeed this year? Why did they go from my Stanley Cup contender? They had such good young goaltending, and the goaltenders played fairly well. What happened, Tim?
I don't know. The goaltenders did play well. They both had goals against in the 2.244, 2.69, save percentage above 900. So they're not like Carter Hart atmosphere. I think similar to the Flyers, they're one of those teams that should be much better on paper. I think you nailed it with the Zibanejad thing. Especially if you take out like those 15 points he got in those two games against the Flyers.
Right.
He's putting up like 40 points in an 82-game season. You know what I mean? Like that's not where he needs to be at, considering where he was last year and the year before. Panarin's there. He missed a little bit of time, but he put up 56 and 41. So he's obviously doing what they need him to do. Adam Fox leads all defensemen with points. So these guys should be better. I think it's just a slower start. They were probably hovering around 500, where if their guys are performing where they should have been the first half of the season, they win some more games, and they're probably, the Bruins might be the odd man's out in that case. But they didn't execute. They're a good team though, because they like their offense is so well spread. Like Strom, Buchnevich, Kreider, all like putting up decent points. Like they have the depth there, and they have the guy in Panarin. So I don't really have an answer. I'm glad they didn't do better, because now the Bruins are in the playoffs, not them.
Well, that's the reason. It's because Zibanejad didn't produce early on. They had the opportunity. The Bruins opened the door.
Yep.
Because at the start of the season, no one was going to catch the Islanders. No one was going to catch the Capitals. Those two teams were just head and shoulders early on above this whole division. And the Bruins gave them that open door. They're like, listen, if you want this spot, Pittsburgh was kind of chugging along, playing pretty well, and they couldn't do it. Zibanejad was bad. Panarin missed some games, like you said, and they just couldn't figure it out. And this is what they get. They were expecting Lafreniere and Kapokako. Yaka, he had a bad year too.
I forgot about him.
Exactly. Was he number one?
Two.
Number two overall the year prior.
Yep.
So if you have a number one and number two overall pick, and they're not either of them on the first or second line, you got an issue, my friend. Like, you need those guys getting point per game. They need to be studs in the power play. They need to be difference makers. And when those two guys are averaging a point every three games, it's not good. And like you said, they're very balanced, but you need stars in this league, and you can't just have Panarin. They're banking on Zibanejad, and it's just they didn't have enough, especially in that division.
Kapo was taking one pick before Kirby Doc.
Kirby Doc and that team would be incredible. If you put the New York Rangers, though, this is the sad thing about this season. If you put the New York Rangers in the North Division or in the division with Carolina, Florida, they are making the playoffs. What's hard with this division is night in and night out, this team right here has to go and play the New York Islanders, the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Washington Capitals, the Boston Bruins. And if you get on a stretch where you play those four teams in a row, you lose your confidence pretty darn quick. And when you have a young team like they do, young goaltenders, young defensemen, you need to find your mojo. You need to get on a good swing. And if you don't see a Buffalo Sabres team for a while, or New Jersey Devils, next thing you know, you've lost 8 of 10 and you're shot and you can't get back in the standings. So this is what happened with them. They'll figure it out. They have a good team. They have a lot of good contracts under their belts. They will, you know, make adjustments this year, and hopefully next year we can go back to a more normal semblance of a season where they play other teams other than the studs that are in the division right now. Because you could take any of those four teams, the Penguins, the Capitals, the Islanders, and the Bruins, you put them in another division, they're arguably first or second in any division. Like, this is how strong this division. We made it out to be the best division. Do you think it's lived up to that touting?
I do, yep.
Yeah. Without a doubt. And, you know, the disappointing Philadelphia Flyers, maybe you put Philly in another division and it's a different story. Same thing with the Rangers. Moving on. Okay. This was a team, they won the Stanley Cup a few years ago, and it's hard to call them a disappointment because they are going to make the playoffs. But the expectations were so high. They went out, they got Torrey Krug, they lost Pietrangelo, they have the goaltender in Binnington, they have the stars up front, the Tarasenkos, David Perron's having a career year. The St. Louis Blues have been so underwhelming, and I almost feel like this is their MO now. They're almost like the Muhammad Ali of the NHL, where they just play rope-a-dope for the first half of the season, then all of a sudden they're just like, oh, what? Jeez, we got to go. Like, now's our time, and they start punching back. And then everyone realizes, like, wait a minute, the St. Louis Blues is, you know, they're actually a pretty good team. But they were terrible. Everyone was like, Arizona is a revelation in this division. We thought these four teams were locked in. What's happening to St. Louis? They got off the mat. Ryan O'Reilly woke up. David Perron's playing great. Mike Hoffman all of a sudden figured out how to score. Torrey Krug just loves getting assists. Hates scoring, but loves getting assists. And this team slowly but surely started to work their way up the standings. Jordan Binnington started playing like he was supposed to play, like when they won the Stanley Cup. The kid's got ice in his veins. He makes a save when he needs to make a save. And they slowly but surely have been winning. But they have put themselves in a tough position now. They're going into the playoffs. They were expecting, I thought they would get the second or third seed. Now they are going to match up against the Vegas Golden Knights. If I'm the St. Louis Blues, is this season a disappointment? I think it is. But I know, for you, you're not a St. Louis Blues fan. You're casual hockey. You maybe catch one game a year, Tim. Is this a disappointing season, even though they're going to make the playoffs?
It is, especially if you look at the standings, right, the matchups they're going to have. Because I was just about to think, like, while you were talking, I'm thinking, like, yeah, the Blues have been a little disappointing, but they're a team that, like, can be just as good as anyone else in the playoffs. Like, there's not a team you want to match up against. But then you think about it, you're like, well, they're going to play either Colorado or Vegas, and it's going to be Vegas. So no one's afraid of them, Vegas least of all, right? So, yeah, I mean, it is a disappointment. Bennington can steal some games, I think, but I don't think they get past the first round. I don't think they win more than one game in that series. Do you?
They match up fairly well with the Golden Knights. Obviously, like, the Golden Knights, when they play the Blues, they usually do, like, they beat them 5-1, they beat them 6-1, they beat them in overtime. St. Louis stole one game. So Vegas does have their number, but gosh, there's something to be said about winning experience. There's something to be said about a guy who's been there and he's won the Stanley Cup. And Jordan Binnington has done that. Most of the St. Louis players have done that. Vegas, they've been there and they've lost. I don't know if there's a mental thing there. Either it creates some hunger. But if I'm Vegas, I'm not going into this first round series thinking this is going to be easy just because we've had our way with them in the regular season. And I don't know. It's going to be interesting when we do pick these picks, because I would not, gosh, like, if I'm Vegas, I would rather play Minnesota than St. Louis. As well as, yeah, Minnesota's been playing.
Yep, I agree.
St. Louis just has that reputation for whatever reason. I don't know why. I just would not feel confident going in to St. Louis to play them in the playoffs. I don't know why. I don't know why. Just call me crazy, call me superstitious, but I just don't. I would rather play Vegas. I would rather play the Avalanche to be honest with you.
No.
The St. Louis scares me. Maybe I'm just speaking outside of my mouth, or I don't know. But going back to what we were talking about, I think St. Louis, the regular season was a disappointment, but you can say that about the regular season when they won the Stanley Cup.
Yep.
So we will see what happens in the playoffs. I think they'll turn it around. I think if there's going to be an upset for a number one seed, it's coming from this division. We'll see what happens. Moving on to everyone's favorite division, the North Division. Now, while I was doing research for this podcast, I'm like, gosh, okay, the disappointing teams, Rangers are a no-brainer, St. Louis potentially, Columbus we'll touch on in a little bit, they're a huge disappointment. Then I went North, and I was like, gosh, was this whole division a disappointment? Like, honestly, the whole division, other than two teams. Toronto, not a disappointment. They've taken leaps with their game. They've become a contender. Edmonton, they've improved as well. I think they have finally figured out a few missing pieces. They have a defense. Mike Smith has been playing great.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, but for the amount of trash that I've thrown his way, he's been playing lights out the last month. Like, he's, even the whole season, since he's come back from injury, he's been playing great. Imagine him winning a Stanley Cup. He doesn't get the due that he deserves. He's a, gosh, is he almost 40 years old?
I'm going to look it up. He's 18-6 with a 2.30 goals against and .924 save percentage.
That's incredible numbers.
Yeah.
For a guy who I said this offseason they shouldn't even touch with a 10-foot pole.
He's 39.
He's 39 years old, and he's putting up numbers like he's 19. Like, he's unbelievable. He's playing great. The Oilers are fun to watch. McDavid's going to get 100 points. They have some good defensemen back there. They're a scary team. Everyone else in this North Division, in my opinion, is a complete failure. From top to bottom, the only team that I would maybe say is not a failure, and you could maybe argue that they had a successful season, is the Ottawa Senators.
I was going to say the same thing.
They didn't have many expectations. The only reason I think it's a failure of a season for them is maybe not a huge failure. They started so atrocious. They really just had a terrible first 3 months of the season, 2 months of the season. Of late, they've been a very dangerous team. They're a tough out. They're a good team. They're fun to watch. Brady Tkachuk, big friend of the show. He's been texting me like crazy. He wants to get back on the show. He's unbelievable. That's maybe I'm stretching it. But I don't think they're a huge failure. The other teams, Calgary, unbelievable failure. Vancouver, I don't know. That team is so strange. I don't know what to expect. They started the season terrible. Then they got COVID. Then I think they got COVID again. I feel like they had two or three COVID breaks where they just didn't play any games. They're awful. Montreal, huge failure. Even though they're going to make the playoffs, I think they were just they had a bad year. Correct me if I'm wrong.
You're not wrong. And who wants to play Toronto in the first round, right?
Nobody.
Yeah, so Montreal, and it's weird how I've turned around on this team, because I used to hate them, but now I like them.
You like Montreal?
I like Montreal.
Why?
I like the players on that team. I like
who
the
do you
story.
Like?
I like Brendan Gallagher. I like Toffoli. I like Shea Weber. I like Jake Allen and Carey Price.
What is the criteria for you to like a player? That's what I want to know.
It's an X factor, John. It can't be defined.
Are they man rockets?
Can't put me in a box. I don't think they have any man rockets.
But why do you like them, honestly? Is it the way they play?
Yeah, Brendan Gallagher, like the way you play. Okay. And like the a lot of players and analysts have used this term to describe him. Like, he plays the way you'd want your kids to play.
Tenacious.
Yes.
Yeah.
If only he was a little more talented, he'd be a special player.
He is talented. He's a great player. I don't think he gets the due he deserves. He's a very talented player. He gets in your face. I like Gallagher, too. I love what he, like, when Subban was there, he just didn't take any guff. PK was just trying to be the show, and Gallagher wouldn't have any of it. Like, he would stand up to him. Not a lot of guys. Pacioretty wouldn't. He was the only guy in that locker room who would challenge PK, because PK wanted it to be the PK show, and Gallagher would stand up to him and be like, no, man. Like, we're playing for the crest on the front, not the name on the back. Honestly.
Was PK there when you played that game? Or was that?
He was.
So this before the trade?
Before the trade. This was pre-Shea.
Okay.
Post PK.
Were you like making any observations in the dressing room, or you just kind of, was it all about you that night?
No. Well, everyone tried to make it about me, but I just kind of sat there. I was super nervous. What I noticed was it was the tail end of the season. Nobody was friends in that locker room. there was cliques. There was the Russians. There was a couple, you know, there, it wasn't a group of guys who were all friends. There was a group over here that had three or four guys over there. There was four or five guys over there. There was two or three guys. Nobody liked each other. It was so strange. Like, it was one of the weirdest atmospheres. And I was only there for 2 days, 3 days. It was miserable. Nobody was happy. I tried to go in and liven it up a little bit because that's what I do. I was like, this is sucks in here, you guys. Like, let's have some fun. We're playing in the NHL. Like, it could be worse. And they just did not want to have fun. They wanted to be miserable. Nobody liked each other. You could tell there was some tension between PK and Pacioretty and Gallagher and the other captains. It was, you could cut it with a knife.
Really?
It was unbelievable. And it was so apparent. It was wild stuff. And, you know, it all obviously worked out where it all got aired out where Gallagher didn't like PK and they had issues and Pacioretty, not the leader everybody thought he was. And it was a toxic environment. It was Britney Spears toxic. That's how toxic it was.
What a song.
It was, they played in the locker room before games because we know that we're toxic, but no, it was really bad. And then, you know, fast forward to 2021, they're still in the same spot. I think they have a better vibe in the locker room. Those guys, like you said, you like all of them.
Most of them.
I think, you know what? They have a good team. Maybe they could, you know, take a game from Toronto. I don't see them making any waves. They're a disappointment. I don't think Bergevin, does he manage to keep his job?
Yes.
How? This guy, he has so many lives. I don't know what he does to keep his job. He should have been fired 5 years ago. When he traded for me, he should have been fired. The owner should be like, why are you getting this plug? I don't understand. He's not going to help the team. We're not in a playoff chase, and you're trading for this guy. Fired. Honestly, it's a useless trade.
How about, you see, Cole Caulfield scored his first NHL goal as an overtime winner?
I did. That's pretty cool. What's great about this is they are giving this guy to succeed. They're putting him on a first or second line. I think he's playing with Suzuki and, gosh, the name is blank. But he's playing on a first or second line role. He's getting first power play line minutes. So they're giving him a chance to succeed. So good for him. Overtime winner. The kid's going to be a good player. Like I said before, he's a water bug out there. The puck finds him. He's really good in a tight space. He can stick handle in a phone booth if he wanted to. Montreal will find their way eventually. They just need to get Bergevin out of there, get Carey Price's contract out of there, which is easier said than done, but they have good players. They really do. They can't figure it out. They need a superstar to go in there. They need a Kovalchuk. They need him. They need him bad. They need him in the worst way.
They don't need another third-line right-handed shot winger. But they already have like seven of them.
If you give him the puck on the right side when no one's around and it's between his skate and his stick and it's going a certain speed, he's going to get a goal every fifth or sixth shot.
It's pretty good shooting percentage.
Not bad. I'm just saying, don't say no to him. The other team in that division who I think is a disappointment is the Winnipeg Jets. You know, we talked about Dustin Byfuglien last week or last episode, whenever that was. They never addressed their defensive issues throughout the whole season. Yes, they've had guys who have stepped up. Guys have played okay. They did not address their biggest glaring weakness, and it's so frustrating. Whenever we talk about Winnipeg, whether it was 5 years ago where they had the best defense in the league and they needed some offense. Now they have a really good offense. They have scores. They need some defense. Ehlers is out. He's supposed to come back for the playoffs. It's just really frustrating. And I don't fault Kevin Cheveldayoff. Maybe the market wasn't there. And he's a good GM. They always seem to miss the mark. They always seem to be that team that's going to take the next step. And they don't get that player that's going to push them over the hump. And it's frustrating as a fan because I want Winnipeg to do good. Like, they have great players. Mark Scheifele, I think, is one of the most underrated players in the league. He's consistently in the top 10 in scoring. He's so good, and he gets overshadowed by Matthews and McDavid. But when you look at the end of the year, Scheifele's there every single year. Like, Dubois playing good. Connor's playing well. Like, they have a good team. They needed the defenseman. They needed one or two defensemen to go in there and eat up some minutes and to be good players. And they just, maybe they weren't out there. I don't know what it is, but they're a disappointment to me. You know, Hellebuck's had another great season. He's been maybe not as good of a season as he had last year, but he's still playing well. He's a good NHL caliber goaltender. I picked them to be the only threat to Toronto throughout the season. I don't think they're a threat to Toronto anymore. I think Edmonton might surprise Toronto and win maybe two games, but this division is Toronto's. Like, they have it in the bag. They could dress their fifth line, Toronto's fifth line, they could dress their fifth line as their second line Toronto and still be win this division and sit their whole second line.
Do you think Winnipeg has any chance of beating Edmonton in the first round?
I just was on an Edmonton radio show 2 weeks ago, and I was like, yeah, Winnipeg will beat Edmonton.
Really?
And I completely changed my mind now. Wheeler came back. He wasn't the same player as he was before his concussion. That'll be a good series. That'll go six or seven. I think that'll be a good series. I still think Edmonton might come out on top. Selfishly, I want to see Edmonton and Toronto go head-to-head.
Yeah.
I think that would be an unbelievable matchup. It would just be so entertaining to see those teams go back and forth. And, gosh, that would be fun hockey to watch. That'd be really fun hockey. All right, the last disappointment, Columbus. Everyone knows the reasons. Dubois butted heads with Torts. Max Domi was not a fit there. He's been a healthy scratch. They get Line A. He's going to resurrect the team. He's been an absolute disaster. He doesn't fit on that team. Torts is arguing with everybody. They traded Foligno. They traded Savard. They traded everybody. They got some good draft capital back. The goalies have been average. Merzlikin's been playing good of late. He's been getting some shutouts, blah, blah, blah. They've been a disappointment. They need to get rid of John Tortorella and just reset that team. They have some good pieces. Anything else to add on Columbus team, or did I just kind of grab it all in 15 seconds?
You grabbed it all. I would like to